Good evening and welcome to another episode of Karate Cafe. I'm Pete Shambo and with me tonight is Paul Wilson. Hey Paul, how you doing?
Hey Peter. Yes.
Okay, hello. Already, everything was fine before the show started, folks. Now I'm getting Skype dropping out on me. So Paul, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Just waiting for the next technical screw up.
Well, there we go. Well, you know, this is what we get for the high budget that we have.
That's right. Live TV, or live podcast, I guess.
Yes, there you go.
As it were.
We still got to do the live sometime. That's a little behind-the-scenes stuff. Okay. So, tonight, we're going to talk about... Paul, you brought up the topic, and I know what we're going to talk about. It's hard for me to describe it. So, if you want to give a little short description?
Well, the subject, as I see it, is what we spoke about before the show, which was, you know, have you hit something lately? you know, cruising the boards as I do, and then also, you know, as I'm teaching, you know, I'm trying to focus on all the things that, you know, are the criticisms of traditional martial arts, and that are things that, you know, I think are important. And, you know, hitting something is important. You know, bags. Heavy bags, focus mitts, you know, makuhara, each other. And, is that important? And, you know, if it is, you know, how do you do it? And how do our listeners also, and our readers on the forum, how do they train to hit things?
Okay, now, would you say hitting, just hitting anything, or hitting a moving thing is important, or feeling the... forgiveness of skin as opposed to a heavy bag, or?
Well, I think that hitting, you know, just hitting something is important. Once you get, you know, the mechanics of the punch down, you know, I'm constantly telling, you know, my new students, okay, you know, keep the wrist straight and, you know, focus on your target, you're hitting your target, and, you know, all those things when you're punching air are great, but the first time you hit something that's a solid surface and your wrist bends back, your wrist bends down, or, you know, you actually feel the pressure on your knuckles and maybe it stings and hurts a little bit, it, you know, may throw them off. And, I know I've been to some martial arts schools where I've, you know, there's not even a makuhara up and they're doing nothing but hitting air. I mean, they may kick a bag, but very rarely are they ever, you know, striking anything.
Now, what about getting hit? Because when we discussed this topic before we went on the air, I was thinking of not only hitting, but getting hit. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, any extreme fighting. I'm not talking about, you know, nerve pinches or anything. But just getting used to feeling somebody actually making contact with you when you don't want it.
Absolutely. I mean, as we said before, you know, you're never really going to know how you're going to react, you know, being hit until you're actually all virtual up to that point. You know, so... Yeah, that's one of the things that, you know, I've said on the boards before, you know, with Kotiate and, you know, one steps, you know, it's controlled striking, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, in your mind, you go, okay, I'm going to get hit, and you understand where your threshold is, and I think that helps move things down the line. I mean, we don't train, you know, the majority of people in the martial arts, I'm willing to bet, don't train to get the crap beat out of them. You know, guys who are training in competition or guys who are training, you know, full contact, you know, for tournaments and whatnot, they may get used to being hit. But your average, you know, 9-to-5 guy who's, you know, just taking karate as a hobby doesn't, you know, need to train that way and probably doesn't want to train that way. But I feel they can't ignore that. They have to acknowledge the possibility that, you know, they're probably going to get hit at some point, if in the dojo, if nothing else.
Well, you know, over these podcasts, sometimes I feel like I'm repeating myself, but over these podcasts, we've talked about how as you mature in your art, you come to realization of things, like kata, you see different things inside a kata or inside a bunkai, whatever. And for me, getting hit is something like that. When I started karate, I really didn't give a lot of thought to getting hit. I thought, you know, well, once you get your black belt, you're not going to get hit. This is as a white belt when I was studying. I was thinking once I got my black belt, I wouldn't worry about getting hit. It would, you know, it would always be, I would always be on the offensive and I would always be in the winning position. But the realization eventually, I don't know when, but came to me that it's not a matter of not getting hit. It's a matter of choosing where you're going to get hit.
Yeah, yeah, it's that could also be, you know, a reason for, you know, striking is, yeah, letting your target, you know, offering the target, or, you know, negating, you know, using a block to do the kick somewhere where, you know, you're a little more
fleshy.
I don't know, got a little more armor.
Yeah. yeah, exactly. But and then, but I don't know. I was once told, as far as striking goes and getting used to striking, is this is when we were doing we switched styles a few years ago. Well, within Shorinru, and we did soft blocks in the other style a lot more. And they used to, one of the instructors used to tell me that when you got hit hard, you would hit hard back. Or excuse me, when someone was punching you, if you gave them a soft block, they wouldn't react so fast. And I don't know if that's part of striking. How do you feel about that? If soft blocks versus hard blocks in striking?
A soft blocker kind of guy, because I try, you know, I fancy myself this, I guess I should say, more than anything else. But I tend to trap more and stop block.
Okay.
I don't really block hard, and the way we block in Kenshin Khan is not so hard, in my opinion. It's, you know, we use the change of body, or Tai Sabat, depending on how you look at it. And so the block doesn't have to be hard, because you're really just kind of deflecting it. Or you're using the block really as a strike to a pressure point or just another sensitive area. So, but I tend to block more soft. I accept it a little more because I want to bring him in a little bit closer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, well, I think this kind of gives a little bit of credence to the fact that we say that when we practice, we don't just strike air, because we can talk in such a way that we're talking about blocking and striking and how it feels. So I think this proves to the topic somewhat tonight that's how we train or try to train.
Yeah, I mean, and I've made a conscious effort to really you know, step up striking something. You know, I bought pads and I bought, you know, the focus mitts, and I've tried to do a lot of Ippon Kumite, where with my students, I'm trying to get them to get, you know, like, move closer, move closer, move closer, because what I'm trying to do is get them to move close enough in where they're, you know, because then the next step is they'll start striking one another,
yeah,
you know, and to control that strike. So, to, you know, you have to be able to hit something to know where your control point is, you know, where your body, where your arm extends, and when you hit somebody, how hard you're hitting them, and I think it all develops from there. If you're not striking something at some point, you don't know how hard or how weak you hit, how weakly you hit, and then, of course, you know, how your body is going to react to that hit. You know, when I hit something pretty hard, the surface is hard, you know, something's fairly solid, I feel a little, like, it feels like a shock almost in my knuckles and in my hand. And it doesn't matter how hard I hit that hard thing. It's just whenever I hit something hard, I get that little shock.
Yeah.
And it kind of freaked me out the first few times I do it, but now I'm used to doing it. So now I know that if, you know, I'm punching a target, or I'm punching the, you know, hitting the wall or something to train, or, you know, doing knuckle push-ups and I'm punching the floor or whatnot, I know I'm expecting that feeling.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me.
Well, I can imagine that if all you strike is at air, or mostly strike at air, you don't understand where your strike point is. I mean, I could imagine thinking that your full extension is actually the strike, as opposed to having some travel distance left in your arm.
Yeah, I mean, and I've told my students several times, I mean, you know, my theory is you fight in a box, and the box is as deep as your arms are long.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to fight, you don't want to punch the wall of the box. You know, you're going to drive through somebody. So instead of using your entire body to drive through, you need to be a little bit closer. and, you know, use the mechanics of whatever's left of your body to drive through. You've expended all your energy. If your arm's fully extended, you know, yeah, you can still have some force or chi or whatever you want to call it that's still projecting through your target, but I'd rather have that little extra, you know, inch or so that my arm still has to extend to go ahead and drive myself on through.
Yeah, exactly. And I you need to strike something to understand what that is.
And then purely from a, you know, I guess a selfish standpoint, as someone who's training, I mean, as a martial artist, you kind of want to know that you can hit something hard, you know, and see how the other person's going to react. Like, if as hard as you can, and the person doesn't move, you know you're not generating maybe that much power or not enough power to make this person move. You know, if you are hitting at, say, 70% of what you think you're capable of, and the person goes back 3 or 4 feet and loses their, you know, their stance and stuff like that, then you can kind of feel like, hey, maybe I have more power than I thought I had.
Yeah.
And for, you know, children or women or, you know, people like me who are like got little pipe cleaner arms, you know, to know you can punch something and kind of rock it, you know, makes you feel good.
And like you said, that you had the feeling of shock when you hit something. You don't want somebody to get that feeling for the first time when they're defending themselves.
Yeah, I think I did. I break my hand. Did I break my knuckles? Did I, you know, did I? Physiologically, how does it make me feel? Because I know the first time I hit something solid, like a piece of wood, for example, I hit it really hard. I felt that shocking feeling so much that it actually kind of made me a little nauseous.
Oh, really?
Which I don't really want.
Yeah.
You know, physiologically, they say you're with fight or flight, you're not supposed to really feel that kind of stuff, but. You know, still, I mean, I could feel it, and I know I feel it. You know, and then I also feel that when I, you know, I hit something, if I hit it as hard as I can, which, you know, in theory, maybe in a self-defense situation, I'm going to have to do that. If I'm hitting somebody as hard as I can, maybe they're going to go back farther than I think. And then I have to adjust my stand and my, you know, my spacing, or maybe they might not move at all, and so my follow-up technique may have to change.
Yeah, so even if you're not hitting something as hard as you can in the dojo, you start to understand the physics of a punch, the reaction, the fact that the person does move and that you have to adjust. And on the street, maybe you'd have to adjust more because you're punching harder. But at least in the dojo, you'd have some understanding of that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And then also, you know, physiologically... who you're punching, or, you know, if someone's holding, you know, a body bag or body shield, and you're punching that, you know, and they're taller than you are, then you may have to punch up a little more, you know, to hit them center mass, you know, or you may have to, if there's somebody who's shorter, you may have to punch lower, and then, you know, how is the body mechanics, like, if I punch somebody who's markedly shorter than I am, and I'm punching down, more or less at an angle to, like, say, their solar plexus, my hand would tend to bend down. My wrist would tend to bend down when I strike. And so, you know, I have to be cognizant of, you know, keeping that wrist straight and keeping it nice and strong. And if it's not, then I have to think about, you know, conditioning that and working on that.
Yeah, exactly. So in your school, how much would you say, is there a percentage-wise of how much you're actually striking something as opposed to just practicing it? I mean, it's not all strikes against something solid and none in the air. So
right now, because everyone I have is, you know, 10th Q is, you know, is the air. But I, you know, I have the bags out and I try and get them to punch. And I think that's also one of the things, as an instructor, to try and get people to project is, you know, you tell them to project and they're punching the air, that I don't think they get it. But if you tell them to project and they strike the bag, and then you say, okay, you know, I've done it before when I was teaching in Arkansas, and I was trying to give them the difference, you know, with a kick, you know, between, you know, kicking the bag and kicking through the bag, you know, and projecting, you know, through what you're striking. And it's harder to, you know, I think it's harder to get out when you kick in the air, more so than when you're actually physically hitting something, because if you can demonstrate to somebody that, you know, you're hitting this way and it's, you know, that they move back an inch, or you do it this way and they move back, you know, 8 inches physically, you know, the target.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a teaching aid. So for an instructor, you know, it helps you to demonstrate, you know, the concept you're trying to get across.
Yeah, exactly. I think boards are great for getting people to punch through something as opposed to making contact.
Yeah, and you know, I've never been a big fan of that, but you know, my instructor had one of those rebreakable boards, which I mean, you know, from an engineering standpoint, it's meant to break, so it's easier to break. But still, I mean, I brought that out to a class that I was teaching, and I had everybody, like, at the beginning of the class, everyone, you know, took a couple shots at it and tried to break it, and at the end of the class, because that's what I was doing, I was trying to teach focus, and you know, I was like, okay, now try it again using the techniques that you've learned in this class. Try and break it. And there were a few of them that could break it when they couldn't break it before, and there were a few of them that, you know, still couldn't. But and there were a lot of people who were just intimidated by, you know, oh, it's a board. Well, it's a piece of plastic, actually.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I told them, I said, look, you know, this thing is designed to break, so you can break it, you know. And there'd be people who would just get so focused on worrying about their hand and worried about, you know, the embarrassment of being around, you know, all those factors that, you know, you need to clear out of your mind from a defensive standpoint to be able to focus on the task at hand. And I think that kind of thing, too, I mean, I've been guilty of it. I had a concrete block they wanted me to break, and I was like, well, you know, I don't really feel like it. And then after class was over and we were having a barbecue, I kind of took the concrete block around the side where no one could see me and, you know, broke it. I was like, okay, I can do that. You know, so I am guilty of that, but then I face my fear. So.
Well, yeah, but we have the breakable boards too, and I have found it for me, and I think for probably everybody, when I don't break it, it hurts more than when I go through it. I get more of a sting, not a lot of pain, but a sting. And when we do get the boards out, that's what I try to tell people and try to have them experience is that when they don't break it, it hurts more than when they do break it. So. It shows that, I mean, there's some control that has to be learned with it.
Yeah, you know, there's you know, half measures you can't do in a self-defense situation. You know, you can't really make, you know, you can't lay somebody out, but then again, you also can't, you know, do less than you need to protect yourself. And you know, we were talking about this last, I think, Thursday in class. One of my students was asking about, you know, well, how do you, you know, judge what you need to do in a defensive situation? And I said, you know, it kind of comes up on the fly. I mean, you have to train yourself to kind of quickly categorize what's going on around you and then do what you have to do. And then with the board, it's the same thing. It's, you know, you can't, you know, knowing how hard it is, you know, you maybe tap it a couple times and go like, okay, it's not going to break on its own accord. I have to maybe put more to it. And maybe you push it than you need to, but you'll feel that. You'll feel how much, you know, how your hand goes through it. And you go like, oh, that was easy.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you now know in your mind you have that extra store of energy to you know, break through it. You had more than you needed. So, you know, if you have the opportunity, especially with a rebreakable board, it's great because you can put it back together and go like, okay, I'm going to go half of that and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, this is kind of off topic, but when you were talking about how much force do you use when you're in self-defense, the thought popped into my mind, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. And not that I've been in a real self-defense situation, but I would imagine that the amount of force you use is the amount that is used against you. I mean, almost, well, I don't think it's ever been expressed, but almost my training is not to use as much energy as I need, not to use more energy than I need, because you may need it later in an altercation. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, I always jokingly tell everyone I teach lazy man karate, because I don't really want to work that hard. So, you know, yeah, I don't want to do any more than is necessary. And last Thursday in the class, that's kind of what I was talking about. With, you know, you know, if someone grabs me, I don't necessarily have to lay him out, and I don't have to, you know, tie him up, and I don't have to kick. And it's, you know, what I want to do, the minimum I need to do to take care of myself.
You also don't.
And get away, you know.
Yeah, you also don't want to overreact. If somebody gets you in a bear hug from behind, you don't want to lay them out in case it's somebody that's just trying to show a little dominance as opposed to somebody that's trying to actually hurt you. I'll put it that way.
Absolutely. All right, maybe somebody who just, you know, came up behind you. It's one of your buddies who just came to pick you up and, you know, toss you around a little bit. And, you know, some of the, you know, some people preach overkill, you know, and I don't, you know, for the most part. You know, it's like 99.9% no, that 0.00001% where, like, yeah, it may be the best thing for you.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, they say you'll fight how you train.
Yeah.
And
you
know, and I train to, you know, keep my head in my situation, in the situation, and try and regain control of what's going on. I preach a lot of control, so. And in this case, trying to bring it back to the topic, is that measure of control is understanding yourself, understanding how hard you can hit, understanding how hard you can be hit.
And yeah,
and pushing it, and maybe trying to push that within your boundaries, you know, every class.
And hitting a board or hitting a macro war, that shows you the control. It teaches you a lot about yourself, and like you mostly have discussed, it shows you how much power you need to move something, even a Mach of War, how much you can move it. Not that they, depending on how it's anchored, not that they move that much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we do like self-defense techniques and escapes, and you know, or you know, you put a wrist lock on somebody or something, and you can see how little it takes to move that entire person. You know, that's the sexy one, but just, you know, punching somebody, you know, and then also as well, you know, from punching something is also all the, you know, finesse of it, of, you know, keeping your stance and, you know, keeping your body weight centered and, you know, projecting out too much and, you know, maybe not throwing your shoulders out and keeping your elbows in and, you know, whatever your style does to generate power and getting your hips into it, and, you know, whatever. You know, there's all that, the little stuff, as well as just, you know, brute force, being able to just lay into something.
Yeah.
You know, there are times where, you know, we're traditional style and we don't do high kicks, but, you know, I'll do high kicks. We'll do kicking drills. They're a pretty good workout. And you have to kind of understand that mechanic. And then, you know, also the same thing with punching. Sometimes it's fun to just punch a bag just really, really hard.
Exactly. So, well, we've gone about 20 minutes on this topic, which there's a lot more to be said, but I think we've said enough for tonight. Is there anything else, from any of our past shows you want to bring back up? Or?
Why, yes, there is. For those of us loyal listeners and readers on the boards, mostly the listeners, remember many, many moons ago we had an interview with Master Gunnery Sergeant Shane Franklin, who is proud to say is a member of our dojo, or a member of our association. I wish he was a member of my dojo. As a member of our association, and he was the senior non-commissioned officer in charge of the Marine Martial Arts Program. Well, we got an email on the Kenshin Khan message board that he's finally reached of service in the Marines. He was a Force Recon Marine. He was a drill instructor, and like we say, he was the head of the martial arts program there for the Marines.
Excuse me, Paul. You dropped out for a second. Just but he's retired from the Marines.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Or he is retiring in three days, on the 20th of July. And he's going to be staying in the Quantico, Virginia area, and he's opened up his own dojo where he'll be teaching traditional martial arts and military combatives. And he's got a website. It's vacombatarts.com. His school should be open. I believe he's going to have it open this month. He's also going to be teaching with a guy doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Thai boxing. Apparently it's going to be a 4,500 square foot facility, so that's a pretty good size.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in the Virginia area, drop him a line at vacombatarts.com and stop in and say hi and tell him you heard it at Karate Cafe.
Sounds good. He was remember that conversation still, even though it was quite a few podcasts ago. He really knows his stuff, and he's really been around. And if anybody knows how to actually apply our art to a situation, he does.
Yeah, that interview I've put on boards more than a few times with people who are mixed martial artists, or guys who are running down traditional martial arts, and, you know, even guys who are competition guys and are saying that, you know, traditional martial arts. And I'm like, well, you know, this guy, you know, trains for actual combat, not the, you know, oh, I'm on the streets combat. he trains in a couple of traditional martial arts, and he's fought in professional, you know, ring fights. So, and I always say, you know, listen to this interview and tell me if you're calling BS on him, because I don't think you can. But he was a great guy, and again, you know, he's a member of our association, and we wish him the best of luck with his new dojo.
Yeah, really. So,
Do we have anything in the Karate Cafe email?
Yeah, we got an email the other day. Let me call it up here, and we got from
dig down to the bottom of that big bag. It's so full of email.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Email. Exactly. Running out of ink, printing them all out. It's an email from a gentleman named Julio or Julio, and he just wanted to say that he likes our show, and he's a new listener and to podcasts in general. And today he just started listening to our shows, and the day he wrote this email, he was the first day he started listening to the show. And he actually started with episode 21 and went to episode 24 all in the first day. So I don't know if his ears are bleeding or. I don't know if
you just got bored.
Listen to that many in one day.
Well, welcome, and feel free to join the boards and comment and send us an email and ask us your questions or give us your comments.
Yeah, the board. Where are the boards again?
The boards, I believe, are at tech.com/forums.
Okay, Karate Cafe. drop out at inopportune moments tonight. Karate
don't know.
To karatecafe.com/forums.
That's exactly correct, sir. I've been on the forums. You know, I think we've been in the summer lull.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the boards haven't been hot. Some of the fine folks that do podcasts, you know, the guys over at Podzor and, you know, just that they've been quiet just like us, and they haven't been posting much on the forums, neither have we. Summer is just a hard time to get motivated.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got everything going out around the house. You got a lot of barbecues and everything else going on outdoors, and then you got there's a million different things you can do, especially up in the great Northeast here when we have to make while the sun's still shining, we have to get out there.
And trying to stay above the flood line around here.
It's still raining down there?
Actually, no. This last week, it's been we went from being in a drought to being at flood stage in like a week, and so now the rains I think have pretty much left us. But you know, we're all in the process of drying out. So, yeah. You know, but for the last month, it's been essentially, hey, look, it's raining again.
So, for our new listeners, I think we've mentioned this on and off. Paul's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I'm in central New York State. And we use Skype. The reason there's some dropout is I'm recording it locally here, and with Skype, we're using our computers to talk, and sometimes there is some dropout. So we apologize for that, but that's the way. Like I said, that's the way it's done with the high budget here.
That's right, Oliver. But we strive to give you the best content, even if technically it blows.
Well, but that's what everybody says is, you know, the gentleman that I was reading the letter from, what attracted the show to him was I'm your normal average guy with which trains in karate attitude, our attitude he was talking about. And that's what we've strived for all along. This is just the conversation that you have with your buddies after class is out.
Yeah, and sometimes we're even drinking a beer afterwards. And it's not, you know, we're not karate masters. We are, as far as I can tell, the oldest podcast about martial arts on the internet, and it hasn't changed from day one. And obviously, I came in. For those of you who are longtime listeners, know this, but people who, like our friend Julio. I came in kind of late, got invited by you guys to come on the show, and it's essentially been the same way all the way through till I joined, and then after sitting around talking about martial arts.
Yeah.
And with no real agenda.
Yeah, and then, we're imparting no wisdom. It's just our experiences. We're yeomans in the field, I guess you could put it.
And especially no wisdom on my part.
So, but it's just to get some conversations going.
So. And, you know, to flashback, this is the flashback to old episodes episode. We were talking about the, you know, things that make you throw up in your mouth a little bit, or things that make you go kia, which I'm creating a website for my dojo, and I'm working on it, and so I'm looking at other websites and, you know, trying to figure out what I want. And, you know, it's really hard not to do some of the stuff that I've, you know, picked out as just annoying the crap out of me.
Oh, you mean you've got a hall, you're going to have a Hall of Fame?
I'm thinking about it. I don't know. But, I mean, just like, you know, the instructor page, the instructor bio page, you know, I'm toying with the idea whether I just don't even about me. I mean, if someone comes to the page and they don't know me from Adam anyway, so, you know, any of our listeners or readers can, for the love of God, you know, chime in and let me know what you think. Because, you know, I'm not that impressive. I mean, I am in my own mind, well, don't get me wrong, but...
But, see, this is the I can't think of the word, but part of martial arts, in my mind, part of true martial arts is being humble and not selling yourself and, you know, just not trying to stand out, not trying to be the big man in the area. And
yeah,
And yet when you're starting a dojo or this podcast, we have to market ourselves. I mean, not that we're marketing ourselves or marketing this podcast, but you can't be modest to a certain extent when you own a dojo or when you run a dojo or when you're doing anything that you're trying to promote in some way.
Yeah, I'm trying to tread the thin line between, you know, just being factual about, you know, my training history and my philosophy and whatnot, and, you know, not sounding like undefeated in 49 street fights, you know, and that kind of crap.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing is in the martial arts is you don't talk about yourself. I would okay. In my I would hope that in a bar situation, this is one of the things I've thought of when I first started karate. I would hope that I would appear to be the person that's just sitting there, not the guy that's out bragging or out, you know, making the trouble or even involved near the trouble. I would be the guy sitting in the back of the bar or sitting against the wall watching everything. And I think that's, in my mind, that's how a martial artist should act.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't want to, one of the things about, you know, teaching self-defense is, you know, being aware of your surroundings and, you know, taking control. And one of the ways you take control is don't put yourself in that situation. So, you know, I don't want to put something on a website that's going to rub somebody the wrong way because, you know, unlike some podcasts, I don't really necessarily want to step on toes, so to speak. You know, so I don't want to put something on there where, you know, someone who just happens to stumble across the site goes, oh, this guy thinks he's a badass. I'm going to go, you know, challenge him or whatnot. But, you know, I don't want to put out so much out there that, you know, it's like, okay, whatever, you know, kind of deal. Which, I mean, apparently not, because the majority of sites I go to all have those pages where whoever the instructor is, you know, they invented water and, you know, they know the secret Shaolin death touch and all this stuff. You know, so I'm trying to stay away from that.
Well, maybe that's because they think that's what the public wants, especially people that don't understand the arts. Maybe they think that's what they want.
And there's probably a point to that.
Yeah, but when people don't, I think that people don't understand the art, at least, well, maybe I may be totally off base here, but they want, what they want is something that's authentic and something that is just going to work and just help an average person, not make anybody a superhero, but just help the average person to be more defensive or more confident.
Yeah, and that's what I want to try and get across, I guess, with, like, you know, an instructor profile page is, you know, okay, this is someone who appears to be competent, you know, appears to be, you know, somewhat well-rounded or, you know, more... thing that's really stressing me more is the, you know, like the About the Dojo page and, you know, the information about the class page, because that's really, you know, where I get across the philosophy of the dojo.
Yeah.
You know, more so than, you know, ooh, look, I'm cool, you know. So anyway, so I'm working on the website, and you know, it's nowhere near production yet. So, but that's something I'm working on, and then you know, and the other thing is like I don't want to, you know, go overboard. I see all these websites that have like, you know, the entire history of karate and the entire history of, you know, it's like, you know, go to Wikipedia.
Yeah, put a link.
Yeah, put a link. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'll put a link to the association site, because with me, you know, the history is important, and I stress the history, and I make sure all my students know the history. But I'd much rather get them, you know, directly from the source, from the association, which, you know, is much more thought out and researched more so than, you know, than what I'm going to put on there. I see a lot of people that just kind of copy and paste it. And I'm like, you know, why even bother? Why burn the bandwidth? Just, you know, put a link back to the association site or to that relevant page, and then move on.
Yeah. So.
But anyway, so that's some of the production I'm doing. You know, during the summer, it's kind of like, you know, of all the many things I have to do around the house, I also have to, you know, take care of the dojo. So.
Yeah. So, well, we've hit on it. I wasn't planning on going on a little bit longer. I think what we've talked about for the past 10 or 15 minutes has been interesting as well. So I'll leave it in. This has been another episode of Karate Cafe. You can email us at Paul.
KarateCafe@gmail.com. Did I drop out?
No, for once you didn't. I was waiting for it. And once again, the forums are karatecafe.com/forums. And for Karate Cafe, I'm Pete Shambo.
I'm Paul Wilson.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.